If you need to record a podcast remotely, riverside.fm is the place to do it. Alex and I have been making Two Dudes Watch Cartoons remotely across states, pretty much across the continental U.S. for 3 years now. We've tried several things, and this is what works best, honestly.
Zoom turned out terrible. We used a couple other ones that we paid for that turned out terrible.
You're looking at the interface right now. I think I'm doing the screen record correctly.
Riverside has made doing this podcast as easy as possible. Riverside FM.
Head to the link in our bio to get started. That's riverside.fm.
Today.
Welcome back to the pod. Today we have a special edition. Two Dudes Presents DCE Eulogy, our send-off, our love letter to the much beloved, much reviled DC Extended Universe. This is our third edition. We're going through it sequentially, and it's been a while since we've done one of these. But today we are covering, well, before I get into it, I'll let you intro it. My name's Evan.
Oh, and my name's Alex. Today, we're covering the widely divisive Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Mm. First question, does it need the Dawn of Justice?
Or does nope.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. I was reading it and I was like, Batman versus Superman like kind of holds its own weight.
Yeah, it's catchy enough. It seems like a forced, I mean, we'll get into plenty of this. Let's start with the basics. Let me give you the rundown of the movie.
Yeah.
This is 2016. Can't believe it's
Wow, that actually been that long. Feels, yeah, that's crazy.
8 years now, back in the day. But here's the synopsis on Letterboxd. Fearing the actions of a godlike superhero left unchecked, Gotham City's own formidable, forceful vigilante takes on Metropolis's most revered modern-day savior, while the world wrestles with what sort of hero it really needs. And with Batman and Superman at war with one another, a new threat quickly arises, putting mankind in greater danger than it's ever known before. Theatrical run had a runtime of 152 minutes, made on a budget of $250 to $325 million, and a box office take of $873.6 million,
which is made money.
Yeah, it's not unimpressive.
People are crazy. This movie gets so much hate.
A ton of hate, yeah. This movie is the dawn of the DC Extended Universe, in a way. Mm. And you could also say, was the end of it as well.
It really was the beginning of the end, and the beginning of the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's go back to 2016. I mean, I love this movie.
We both really liked this movie, and our friend group at the time did not like this movie at all. None of them. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they were all as big as superhero fans as we are. Some of them are, but not all of them. But everyone left the theater being like, that was not what I wanted or expected. And I want to ask, what went wrong here? Like, because Man of Steel was... no one was like, oh, bleh, terrible.
But it ended on a divisive note with the killing.
I guess
so.
Yeah. I guess so. But like, where did the steep drop into, you know, this is coming in at Letterboxd reviews at like, what, 40% or something like ridiculous?
Yeah, it's not great. I can't find the compiled score, but 2.4, I think, is the Letterboxd out of five.
It's interesting to me because I think it's really, to me, interesting watching this with the current MCU burnout that's happening at the moment.
Yes.
Because in my opinion, like, is this not what a lot of people are asking for? Something maybe a little more serious,
A
little more tonal. Like it has its own tone, its own genre. Dark. It's a little darker. People are complaining that things in the MCU aren't connected at the moment. That things don't really like. Oh, what? No one can see the giant hand from Eternals. Like this, in my opinion, people would be like clamoring at. I don't know. I'm really interested in like reviewing this with you because we've always been on the side of this is not nearly as bad as people are making it out to be. We have erred even on the side of really enjoying this movie, but it's not perfect. Watching it this time through, there's plenty of things to critique in this movie, but I feel like Marvel's last year and a half to 2 years, this is better than all of those movies, in my opinion. Not all of them. Like, I don't think this is better than Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Sure.
But it's just so confusing to me how this got so much hate.
I mean, to put it in a bit of historical context, 2016 is a year, maybe two, before Endgame comes out. So this is still in the ramp up to peak MCU hysteria. I think where it went wrong was the simple matter of the fact that this movie exists. This movie is titled the way it is. They went from one standalone movie to trying to introduce essentially Avengers 1, cramming that in or setting up Avengers 1 in the DCEU, which would be the Justice League, in the matter of one movie, like one tee up.
Okay, here's my thing. Who cares? I think they did it fine. Like, even at the time, I was like, I don't need a Flash, Aquaman, all these movies. Then for them to join up to the Justice League, just give me the fucking goods right now.
I disagree with that. I think it's one of the weakest points of the movie is you can tell where maybe Zack Snyder's hand was forced in this movie, whether it's a studio decision.
The file, email file.
Browsing files.
That was the literal email that WB sent him. And they were like, you have to include these clips. He's like, fine, here they are.
A bunch of found footage. But yeah, instead of doing a Man of Steel 2, we'll never get that. I kind of resent that.
Evan's crying. You can't see it.
But, you know, I agree with you. We are such sympathizers with this movie. I don't know that I would be a defender at this point. I love it for what it was and is and how I felt about it at the time. But this time, I'm probably going to come in as critical an eye as I've ever watched this movie with. Because is plenty to pick up in this movie. But I do want to, this is something I've talked about on the pod before, is I can separate something being bad from me being able to enjoy it.
Enjoy or
I can,
it.
Yeah, those they're not mutually exclusive. This is a great example of that.
Okay. Where does this fall near Civil War then? What year was Civil War?
It must have been right around there. I'll look it up real quick.
I'm thinking that probably has played a little bit of an effect here.
May 6, 2016. So it would have been
same
summer.
It's the same year. So people are like, Captain America and Iron Man are fighting. We never even met Batman and he's fighting.
So, I mean, first opportunity to give a bunch of comic book movie fans misgivings is casting Ben Affleck.
No, I just thought of it. It was before you even said Ben Affleck. It's that it wasn't Henry Cavill and Christian Bale. They never were able to siphon Nolan's movies into the Man of Steel ones like I'm sure they wanted to. I bet you they offered him $1 million.
I'm sure they did.
Could.
And he's an architect. He produced this iteration and Man of Steel. I don't know how much he actually was involved, but...
He was, yeah. But I think that is, and the fans felt it. They were like, we want Christian. But I want to give Ben Affleck his due credit. I don't think he's a bad Batman. I think he gets too much flack.
Yes, I agree. People had misgivings because his first outing in the superhero realm was Daredevil, which was like a Sony or a Fox
a really
Marvel.
Yes,
yeah, bad movie. Where he met Jennifer Garner, his then future, now former wife.
You nailed that.
She had a
then future, now former. That was beautiful. You said it so smoothly. Like, I had to think about what he was. I was like, what do I call her?
Yeah. She had an Elektra spinoff movie, right? Man, they were just making whatever.
No, did she have a whole movie by herself?
I think so. But famously bad movie. 2005. Elektra.
Elektra. Wow.
Starring Jennifer Garner. But yeah, so people were hesitant.
There's rumors they're going to reprise those roles in Deadpool.
Stop. Oh, maybe. Yeah, okay. But Ben Affleck was divisive, but I think he's one of the better parts. Okay, I think his portrayal is one of the better parts. I don't think any of the writing or any of the dialogue in this movie is anything you'll be quoting. Or
you don't say, do you bleed?
You will.
You will.
But in the ramp-up, part of what I loved about the marketing of this movie and why I was so hyped about it was Zack Snyder. One of the things he's great at is framing these real comic booky vibes and shots. And so he had these beautiful, beautiful stills of Ben Affleck in the Batmobile, in the suit. And the first look at the bat suit, he looks like Frank Miller's Batman in the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, I
and
can
he,
picture it.
He's got the build. He's been taking so many roids for this role, and he looks
I'm
the part.
Embarrassed to admit that it was only a few years ago I learned that actors regularly use steroids.
I saw a tweet, I think today.
I was like, what? Yeah, then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, why wouldn't they? Yeah. It's not like they're getting drug tested. Like,
Kumail Nanjiani was on Men's Health. What do you mean? I saw a tweet today of it was like Hugh Jackman once again getting jacked for the role of in the upcoming Deadpool. And someone was like, I love that this man just loves theater, and every few years he has to take an ungodly amount of like bovine steroids to beef up to play Wolverine and X-Men.
I love him as Wolverine, though, yeah. So I thank him for it every day.
Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck is phenomenal. Bruce Wayne, I really did love this movie when it came out because,
yeah.
And it's sort of this, it's almost an adaptation of Dark Knight Returns in a way. There's some dynamics pulled from it, but it's not straight on. But there's heavy influences from the story, heavy influences design wise. They bring in the famous metal bat suit. I don't know what it's called.
I love it.
Yeah.
The metal bat.
Some of it's shot in Detroit, some iconic locations.
I love it.
Yeah.
You can see it. You're like, that's Detroit. So they're tearing apart that building at the end. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is so a Detroit. This is so a Detroit building.
But that said, I think this movie, and we might have said this about Man of Steel, this movie starts like three or four times. It starts...
I was going to say the same thing about the ending. There are six endings, which I have an issue with. That's like something I've been coming to really get annoyed about in movies, mm-hmm. when a movie has six separate endings. I'm like,
yeah. And we said this same exact thing about Man of Steel, but this one starts with a two-minute Jeep Renegade commercial.
You don't like the opening scene?
No, because half of it is shot specifically as product placement. It's just a Jeep Renegade driving through the streets, which good for a Chrysler or whatever, but we didn't need it. And then, you know, I think my problem with it, and I notice it more throughout the movie, is just like Zack Snyder doesn't trust his audience to just like follow the beats.
What do you mean?
He has to show... This is why Batman hates Superman. This is why this happens. This is where they found kryptonite. This is very plainly. One of the worst examples is a line of dialogue. Lois is investigating the wheelchair guy's apartment after his death. She goes, he just bought groceries. He wasn't planning to die. It's like, okay, I guess. Make a better clue, Zack Snyder. I'm sorry. Write it better. Like, what? What kind of dialogue is that?
You know what, though? I was watching it. I've seen this movie a million times, and if she hadn't have said that, I wouldn't have put it together.
Exactly.
I was like, what's she getting at?
Write a better clue. Not a great mystery writer. So there's the Jeep Renegade commercial. Then it goes to kryptonite in the Indian Ocean. I think that would have been a great spot to start the movie.
You think that would have been a better one?
It's more intriguing, and like it plants kryptonite as like this threat. It starts with an imminent threat.
The movie's about kryptonite.
And then it goes to Nairobi. Cut all that shit. I don't know.
The Nairobi shit needed to be way less. Yes. I agree. I actually really like the beginning of the alien attack, though, from Bruce Wayne's perspective. Take out the car commercial, and I think it's a really compelling scene. I know you're saying, like, this is why he hates him. But, like, it's very interesting getting a different look at that battle, because we're flying around the camera with Superman, where down here it's kind of interesting watching how helpless they just are with all the rubble falling everywhere. So I like it for what it is. I like the kryptonite scene. I see the argument for it being first, but the Nairobi scene, get out of here. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, Jimmy Olsen. And it's this cool ass guy that works for the CIA now.
Yeah. And then why do all tracking devices in movies have to have, especially in this movie, have to have blinking lights? Not subtle at all.
Yeah.
Not subtle at all. Superman kills that guy? Is that what happens?
I think so. I don't think so. I don't know.
He goes at him at supersonic speeds. And the way Lois is positioned in front of him, he must have grabbed him by the neck or the head or the shoulder. So that dude's dead for sure. And so he busts up this Middle East operation in a village or whatever, where Lois is doing investigative journalism. I don't know why she's embedded with this terrorist group. There's a lot of questions to be asked when there's so much detail. Also, I don't know if you watched the Ultimate Edition. There's an extra 30 minutes of extra reasoning. It's just Zack Snyder giving us extra reasoning of why things are happening. Who wrote it? Wasn't Chris Terrio, maybe it was?
I'm not sure. But the 30 minutes are all used for exposition.
It's like the bullets were made here and this and this. I told you, I'm coming in hot at this movie.
That's okay. I wasn't ready for it. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, you love this movie.
I love this movie, but it's bad. So they're doing this Middle East operation. I think there's just too much intensity at the beginning. There's the alien invasion.
Here's my pitch. Yeah. I'm going big picture here. What if you make this Man of Steel 2 and Batman is kind of like the villain?
Love it.
It's not from his perspective nearly as much.
It makes the title of the movie less confusing. Because it's a V. It's not VS. It's like a court case because it's the dawn of justice. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, guys.
Is that what people said? I didn't even know. That's the reasoning.
But, because it's Batman V Superman, not verse. Or at least that's what I read somewhere along with that ago. I was like, okay, I guess that makes sense.
It's like a court case. Well, the one thing that does bug me, and I'm jumping here to the end, is while they become friends and they team up to take on Doomsday, they never really do solve their political ideology differences.
No, they don't.
And like it proceeds into death and rebirth. Like, do they ever reconcile their differences? I really don't think they do.
Martha.
Okay, but
Martha won't die tonight.
That's a good line. That's a good line. How dare you? I know you're making fun of it. Not the Martha line, but the Martha won't die tonight is a good line.
I do like the opening credits that is used to very briskly go through the Batman origin, because we all know what it is. We got Dean Morgan and that other lady from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a nice touch. So kudos where it's due.
God, it's killing you to say anything nice.
I will celebrate what is worth celebrating.
What did you like about it? What did you used to really like about it?
I liked its ambition.
I agree.
I think it's the most ambitious comic book movie there is.
I would agree.
But it is bogged down by a lot of exposition, not trusting the audience, a lot of studio decisions sort of jammed in there.
Yeah.
That just ultimately weigh the movie down. Introducing Batman's enough. Wonder Woman, I think it was executed well. But then also having the files for the other three. Also, Wonder Woman, the worst.
I think the musical files. What are you about to say? What are you about to say?
The worst musical theme motif of
all
time.
Dog, you've switched up. You've changed. You've changed. In 2016, you and I specifically thought the Wonder Woman intro was the sickest thing in the world. It's so good. How dare you?
He could tell this movie.
I love it.
Made with no women in the creative room.
I specifically love her intro. When you think Batman's about to get a heat vision from Doomsday and she's there.
That's sweet.
And then you don't think that's sick.
I mean, it's cool, but it's just not fitting for the character. Like, I don't know.
I genuinely think the only reason you're saying this is because they beat it to death. They like used it at every intro she ever was in. In 2016, you had it on your iPod. I know it.
my eyes. So, I hate that they take too much time to explain what, like, Batman's. So we have all those intros, and then we have the whole Gotham scene. Okay, and we still haven't really gotten into any of the meat of the movie. So, like, just trim up the beginning. The whole first hour is just like...
Man, it's like he could make a four-hour epic about these characters the way... Just kidding.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm coming into it. Let me...
It's okay.
Let me loosen the reins a little bit.
You know?
What do you want to talk about in this film?
No. This is what I want to talk about, because as I came in, I want to know why this failed. Because for me, that was my biggest confusion in 2016. I can see it probably a little more now. But in 2016, I was like, guys, this is a good movie. It's not the best movie ever, but it's not as bad as y'all are making it sound to be. So
yeah.
this is what I want to hear. I want to get into it. If anything, I was thinking we needed to bring a hater on to do it. But we went in-house. I didn't even know.
29% on Rotten Tomatoes. Never thought it'd be me. That's pretty bad.
That is so bad.
What I do love about this, I love they get the mythology of Superman. Just like the philosophical questions that he evokes. I think that is what I really, really loved in this movie. I love morose Superman. I love pensive, lost in
thinking
thought.
About what does he, like, do? How does how does he be Superman?
As on the nose as it is, that fucking Neil deGrasse Tyson commentary. I fucking love it, dude.
I do too.
That's why you go watch comic book movies. Like, that's what you love about it. Oh, man. But yeah, it's just some of the rest of it's the rest of the execution, I don't think, as well. But it's all framed beautifully. It's all shot great. Like, it doesn't look like other superhero movies.
The Batman and Superman being the two sides of the same coin kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
They want the same results, but they go about it in two totally separate different ways. And you know what I just put together is the reasons why they have to go about it in two separate different ways mm-hmm. is because one's an unstoppable alien. He can't just act with authoritarianism, do as I say. Otherwise, you know, he's evil. And Batman has to go outside the law, the justice. Like, he has to be more sneaky and more prepared because he's just a human.
I don't think they frame any of the competing dynamics too well in this movie. I get that they show the alien invasion, but it's like, why does Batman care that much? Like,
his people are dying in front of him. What do you mean? Why does he care that much?
There's even a 1% chance. It's like, chill, dude. Relax.
You said relax.
Relax. Write some better dialogue. I'm not buying it, Ben Affleck. It's just like, I don't know. It's too intense.
Evan says 1% chance of world domination is fine in his book.
It's fine. I think it's just like that dialogue that's so clunky that takes you out of, like, the escapism of a comic book movie like this. It's like, okay, make it somewhat believable. And then don't even get me into, why does Lex Luthor care about any of this?
Okay, that is one thing I noticed this time around is, like, what is Lex's horse in... What he phrases it, what it is, the problem with it for me is Lex and Batman's motives almost seem too similar mm-hmm. to the point where I was like, why aren't they working together on this?
Yeah.
Like, they both seem to be doing the same. They both seem to want the same thing, something that can stop Superman. And it's really just like Batman's like, no, I want it. Not like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no, they don't, in my opinion, have different enough philosophies for them to be competing almost.
Why is Lex Luthor... So, okay, it's Jesse Eisenberg being Jesse Eisenberg.
I like Jesse Eisenberg a lot.
As do I. It's an interesting take on the character.
I think it's a bad take on the character is what it is.
He's like a tech bro.
Tech billionaire, yeah.
But he's like really concerned with showing... that Superman's not perfect. And it's like, I don't know why it's buying up so much of your time and attention that you... Why is he sending all these random notes to Bruce Wayne as Batman? Why does he want Batman to be...
What notes was he sending to Bruce?
You let your family die.
No, that's the... That was the wheelchair-bound guy returning the checks to him.
Was it? No, because...
Yeah. Haven't we been sending him money? Yes, sir. It seems he's been returning the checks. And then they go through them and they all have. Yeah. Why wasn't I made aware of this?
Because I think Lex Luthor is. Because Lex has a line about, like, you write a couple little notes to Liotta when he's...
Oh, maybe he intercepted the checks and was sending them back. I didn't think about that.
Because remember, he just bought groceries. He wasn't planning to die.
I know he was. Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. No, I didn't think about that, actually. You're probably right. It wasn't him then.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, look at Lex. He who's better, Lex Luthor or the guy from Civil War that hides in the bunker and shows Iron Man the tape of his parents?
The bunker guy.
Why?
Yeah. What's his name? Zemo?
Zemo. Yeah. Yeah. You got it.
He had a motive. He had like personal motivation. His family was killed or whatever by Sokovia.
Yep.
By the whatever.
The meteoroid.
Yeah. I forget that guy's name, but he does a good job as Baron Zemo. It's just like believable. Okay. Like you can go along for the ride. This is just like Jesse Eisenberg's putting a Jolly Rancher seductively into the senator's mouth.
That part was so weird because he recoils at first and Eisenberg's like, no.
And why does he get national security clearance at this like very, very sensitive alien crash site? A lot of, for as much exposition that they didn't even cram all of it into the movie, there's a lot of questions that are just like, oh, you know, these people just want these things to happen.
So, okay, we've dissected some of the issues here.
Mm-hmm.
I think when people say, oh, the tone's too dark, this, that, whatever, I think what they're saying is there's like too much going on. There's too many motives, things I don't understand, questions left unanswered. So I don't know. I hate being this guy, but it just feels like Marvel movies like really ingrained in people what a superhero movie was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when Zack Snyder was like, I'm going to make something a little more serious, people were like, no.
Yeah,
no, because I don't like it.
And I think what we have to take into consideration is that the average moviegoer is not as invested in this as we are. They're going to a big superhero movie to have a blockbuster kind of, you know, MCU kind of experience.
Yeah.
But I do think we nowadays, there is sort of the middle ground, which would be The Boys. It balances.
Did this pave the way for The Boys?
I don't know about, I guess. Yeah, because The Boys is this really gritty, dark thing. But, I mean, granted, that's a television show, and you have much more time to learn why characters are behaving the way they are.
Does Zack Snyder need a TV show instead of making four-hour movies?
Maybe. I tried to start Rebel Moon.
I haven't tried it yet.
I was so bored. They're in a farming village. I was like, just get to whatever knockoff lightsaber fights you're going to do.
Please. Just give me the knockoff lightsaber fight, Zach.
Sorry, were we trying to find things to celebrate about this movie?
No. I'm dissecting why I think this movie, and eventually, I mean, this is the DCE eulogy,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is where it starts. This is the first nail in the coffin. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if this movie doesn't take as big of a dip for the DCEU as it does, the highs that come eventually could have been much more celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you have a movie like The Suicide Squad, it just got lost in all the chatter because people don't care about the DCEU anymore.
Yeah, I think definitely the first nail in the coffin. I don't know. It's sad because there are fun things in this movie. Some of the, you know, philosophical questions, the comic booky moments are cool.
I thought there's a lot of beautiful shots.
Yes.
Like, I know we make fun of the do you bleed, but like watching Batman round a corner and Superman's just there and he bounces the car off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's chilling. You know what I mean? It's pretty, there's some really great moments.
Yeah, I do like Batman's introduction when he's just up in the corner, like a fucking bat.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it sort of gets to the urban mythness of Batman. The action scenes are, especially with Batman in like the warehouse at the end, is really great. I don't know, but in that middle section when Clark is questioning what is Superman, why do we need Superman or whatever, I love that shot of him pulling the fucking freighter.
Oh, it's so good. Over all the news stories, mm-hmm. like of people questioning him and his motives, and
floating above him. The house that's getting flooded.
Yeah, with the Superman symbol on it. Those scenes are beautiful. And this is why I do think a lot of the strength of this movie comes from Superman still.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering if maybe you just go full out, make Batman the villain, have him redeemed at the end in some sort of way, and then you can move forward with Batman and Superman instead of just Batman v Superman.
Yeah, it was trying to do too much. It's one, trying to introduce the Justice League, trying to introduce Batman, introduce Wonder Woman.
Introduce Lex.
Do the Dark Knight Returns. Do the death of Superman.
Yeah, oh, you're so right. It really is such a hodgepodge of the formation of the Justice League, Dark Knight Returns, Doomsday, or the death of Superman. Mm-hmm. It really is, like Zach was like, I'm going to take all these great moments. Like, you know what I mean? And they didn't jive as well as they should have.
Yeah. And
I'm thinking on it out loud here. I think if you just leave the files with all of their little icons and don't show us the clips, it's a much more powerful moment.
Yeah. But again, I feel like that's like a studio thing of like, we got to introduce these guys.
Yeah. But also, yeah. But I feel like that could have been a fine. What about the Flash introduction? It's her. Yes. It's Lois. What did you think of that?
I like that
moment a lot.
The nightmare
actually.
Sequence. I love that because they're.
Oh, see, okay.
Because they're.
I have some issues with the
shit.
Nightmare sequence. I think it's like too long if it's gonna be a dream. Mm-hmm. Like if it's a dream, it should be. I don't like because I'm like watching it and I'm like, wow, I'm like in this now. Like
yeah,
you know what
like
I mean?
Like a fade to black moment. Yeah. It's gone
yes,
on too long.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, whoa, this is a very vivid dream. Like, he blacked out and re-woke up. You know what I'm saying? But so, okay, well, answer me this. This is not a dream, is it? It's him actually seeing the future?
Mm-hmm. It's,
How?
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe just Speed Force visions from the Flash
Speed
breaking
Force
through.
Vision, yeah, okay.
As one does.
And what's really classic is he totally misinterprets the Flash's advice here. You should fear him! Fear him! It's been Lois. It's always been Lois.
Oh, man. I can't believe there was a time when all those clues, all those, it wasn't even really an Easter egg, all those moments were little drops on the path to like what could have been. And we got that Snyder cut nightmare sequence follow up. And we're like, oh, my God, is this going to fucking happen?
I know.
The lead up to part two of Justice League and Batman knocking up Lois.
That really is like so disappointing to me when you see where Zack Snyder was going to go with Justice League 2, 3, and 4 or whatever.
And that's, I think that's where I can pretty confidently say is like, okay, some of this is just Zack Snyder. He's a kid Snyder-ing. In a candy store. Like,
yeah.
He's just.
I'm always a fan of the Batman and Wonder Woman romance. I think they're very, like, they are make a good dynamic because it's kind of what Bruce needs. And they share a similar life of, you know, secrecy and whatever. But to hear that Superman was going to go crazy because Bruce knocked up Lois while he was dead, that is just so not Bruce Wayne. Like,
yeah.
Well, he did sleep one time with Catwoman while she was dating Dick.
Mm.
Not Catwoman, Batgirl. Batgirl.
Batgirl.
Which is bad, because that's Jim Gordon's daughter.
We all know, Batman, don't go down.
Yeah. So, okay. I think that...
He's not about the cat.
I think that romance makes no sense. I don't think Lois would do that at all, either.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that is weird, but... I will say, like you said, like when these were just like clues and hints at a bigger thing to come, it was exciting. I thought that was an appropriate introduction for the Flash, the one little Flash Speed Force, because real comic book fans know he can run through time like that. So it was a cool nod of like, oh, wow, so something's going to happen where he needs to go warn Bruce.
Yeah, but then back to not trusting the audience, it's like, okay, now here's a 5-minute sequence of us clicking through files and watching found footage of these metahumans and watching Cyborg's origin and watching... You know,
Aquaman,
ATM footage of Wonder Woman. I do.
Yeah.
I think Gal Gadot's introduction as Wonder Woman is one of the great triumphs of this movie. Went on to make a great Wonder Woman film. She's great in this movie. Sort of this like mysterious, tantalizing, like femme fatale almost. And I wish they would have just sort of left it at that with Flash, maybe.
Yeah. I think they had, if they just left it there, it would have been really neat and trim and like, wow, this is exciting. I see where it's going, but not shoving it in our face with an an email attachment.
It was a literal email. That's fucking so sad. That's the best thing they could come up with. How do we introduce these guys?
Also, why is Lex got? What's so funny to me is like, yeah, these are the five that step up and become heroes, partly because they were all in this file and Bruce goes to find them. But like, there's a ton of other metahumans on this mm-hmm. planet at this moment. Yeah. Why are these the only ones he's got files on? What's that about?
Why is he taking the time to design logos for them?
I thought that too. I had the same thought. I go, did Lex make these? Lex totally made these. That is so funny.
Oh, man.
Evan and I are wannabe movie critics. We're also wannabe chefs.
We're all doing more cooking at home now. If you want to elevate your home cooking, you need nice tools to do it. Louis Kitchenware will get you there. They have beautiful stainless steel pans, nonstick bakeware, knives, all the stuff you need. Safe, high quality materials, constructed to last, made in the United States, founded in Detroit.
Moving into my condo, we got hand-me-downs. So this new Louis Kitchenware has been great, and we love the discount. We want to share that with our listeners.
You can use code 2DUDES, that's T-W-O, DUDES, at LouisKitchenware.com, and that'll give you 10% off anything on the site.
Check out our link in bio. 2DUDES watch cartoons.
Gal Gadot's great in this. I mean, all the action is sweet. I know we kind of brushed on it, yeah. But I love the warehouse fight sequence. Man, I think this was around Netflix Daredevil as well.
Oh, yeah, so probably around then.
Really violent, like hand-to-hand combat. And then the Doomsday fight loses me a little bit. I think Doomsday's inclusion at all loses me a lot.
I feel like Doomsday being included was the one too many for me. Feel like I could handle all the characters, all the story, all of that. Yeah, but I was like, wow, we're doing Doomsday here too? And it's just so bad that this is like one of the downfalls of comic books. But as soon as you see Doomsday, you're like, oh, well, Superman's going to die here. Like, you just know.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, I didn't know that's where this was going because you hid Doomsday from me.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as he's here, I know what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, so this movie wasn't necessarily, this wasn't a course correction yet, but there were hints of it, because Man of Steel, we all know, sort of ended divisively with Zod's death and the wanton destruction of Metropolis. And then in this movie, this was something I remember thinking in theaters watching this. There's so many moments where they make sure to clarify nobody is present. Where
this
these
building's been, empty.
It's Stryker's Island. It's abandoned. Like, from a random command center. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Just like, just trust the audience. Just let us.
No, there'd be those dweebs on the internet. Yeah. What about all the poor people on that island?
And
they did go out of their way to bring it up a couple times.
Yeah, but so it's like this movie tells this line of being a weird course correction a little bit, but also doubling down on some of the shit that people did not like. Like, Batman mows through henchmen in this movie. With a machine gun, he's like taking out henchmen left and right.
With a machine gun?
There's definitely machine guns on his Batmobile.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you meant Superman was mowing down people with a machine gun. I was like, yeah. I fell asleep during that part.
Mm-hmm.
Batman.
His kill count's up there.
His kill count in this movie was jarring only because our very last iteration of Batman, which was so recently, the whole thing was about how he does not kill. Like, that was about the whole trilogy. And so, like, his opening scene in this movie, just him doming people is, like, really jarring.
Yeah.
Not in the way I think Zack Snyder wanted it to be. There needs to be, and I know you hate the cheesy dialogues, but, like, I abandon that rule. Like, some sort of, like, hey, I used to do that, but I'm past that now because of X1.
There's a little bit of that banter with Jeremy Irons.
Okay, Alfred. Okay. Jeremy Irons, another strong point in this movie, I think.
He was okay.
I knew you were going to say that. You don't like him.
I don't. I did like him as Ozymandias in Watchmen.
Oh my God. You just blew my mind. Evan, I cannot tell you that I did not put those two together, that's him.
I think it worked
He's
in that
great
role.
As Ozymandias.
But he was like the same as Alfred. And I was like, I need a little more curmudgeonly as Alfred, or like, I don't know, I need Michael Caine.
He goes, I don't know. He goes, you do not deserve me. Or he goes, I don't know what you would do without me. Something along those lines. And just, I don't know. I thought he was, yeah.
He's a little too.
He's no Michael Caine. Look, he's no Michael Caine. No one is.
He's too nonchalant for the energy that Ben Affleck is bringing, trying to kill people as Batman. He's just like, oh, yep, I'm here.
He's too jovial for the mission
exactly,
at hand.
Exactly, yeah. Like, hey, Alfred, like.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Hey, Alfred, you're right here. I need you at a 10. Like, lock and loaded, bud. We're trying to save the planet. But to be fair, Ben Affleck has that conversation with him. He's like, this is serious. If there's even a 1% chance, he's like, you're cracking wise, and I need you to be serious over here.
They did not screen test together. Who else is in this movie? Amy Adams as Lois Lane. I have never really loved her performance.
So I got a funny thing to say. I made when we watched Man of Steel, maybe like 6 months ago now, whenever we covered it, I made Nikki watch it with me. And I was watching this and she comes home from work and she's like, what are you watching? I was like, oh, Batman versus Superman. She goes, is that Amy Adams? I go, yeah, she's Lois Lane. She goes, oh, I didn't know that. And I was like, you did. You did know that.
She was in the first movie.
I was shook. I was like, how do you not? What do you mean?
Yeah, their chemistry on screen isn't great. Also, just like her whole subplot being Nairobi and investigating, you know, following the bullet to Lex or whatever.
All right. I love this. Is my favorite game. Was there any signs that he was Martian Manhunter?
No.
None. There were none. None. There were none.
Retrofit if I've ever seen one.
I love it, though. I do. I'll be honest.
So, I mean, you know, I can do without the Nairobi scene, but I can definitely do without her after that when they're at the apartment and she's like telling him about how she's had this traumatic experience in Nairobi. She's a little shook from it. She's in a bathtub. And he just jumps in the tub with her. Let's fuck and flood the apartment. Oh, yeah.
Fuck our downstairs neighbors. Yeah.
Let's lose our security deposit.
Also, he's Superman. Like, not to be grotesque, but if he's fucking, like, he could be going hard.
Through the floorboards.
He's not messing around.
This is totally random, but I did love Lex's musical motif, the piano theme. Dum-dum, dum-dum.
Similar to Superman's.
It's like a minor inversion of that theme.
Yeah, I knew you'd know the musical term. Yep.
And it's menacing and it's cut well with that scene.
But then Superman's is so Kansas, just good old dun-dun.
I love that score. I think that was Tom Zimmer. And then I love the John Keogh. So dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Just not, you can tell it's a different composer. Da-na-na-na. I feel like. This movie makes it very clear that Zack Snyder is a guy who loves like motorcycles and has tats on his arms, and he has like a man cave that has like leather couches in his basement. You know what I mean? That's the vibe I'm getting from this movie, which is fine. It's okay.
He was like, Batman is not going to be living in Wayne Manor. He's going to live in the sickest penthouse on a swamp.
Like,
what?
I think that is a real place in Michigan, that house at least.
So cool.
Yeah.
It's so badass.
What'd you think of the Batmobile?
I loved it.
Yeah. I love all the bat stuff in this.
I think it's a very good portrayal of Batman. I like the metal bat suit. I like the kryptonite bombs. I like his little... The prep time, you know, of the
CrossFit.
The machine gun. Yeah, the CrossFit. Yeah, I love that. I do love that scene. Yeah, he's going ham.
Okay, we got to talk about...
Superman's writing newspapers and Batman's fucking doing P90X.
Don't love Lois or the Daily Planet. Don't love Lawrence Fishburne as Barry White,
dictating
headlines to them.
That's what he does. He's an editor.
He doesn't say, I mean, I guess he does tell them what to write most of the time, but.
That's what the editor tells them what to write.
Giving them headlines to write. That's, I don't know.
Headline. My favorite is at BoJack Horseman. Anytime wet. They do it, headline, he's like, horse eats 12 muffins, dies alone. And they're like, what kind of headlines are you reading? He's got like the most longest.
And okay, I don't like those two Lawrence Fishburne and Amy Adams. I definitely don't like them bantering together. You're flying coach, first class. So that's good. You guys are pretty whimsical.
You guys clearly know each other well.
We
got to
talk
funny.
About the Batman Superman showdown. That's the highlight.
Batman wins, right? Yeah, Batman this is the wins. Highlight of the movie for me. Batman whoops him.
He's got how does he have the time to install turret machine guns in dumpsters outside Michigan Central Station?
What I was thinking, if you really want to get the jump on Superman, is you fire all those machine guns at him and he's like, nothing doesn't do anything to him to distract him, and you slip in one kryptonite bullet. So as he's taking him, he's
that's
done.
Smart. That's smart. Why wouldn't Lex?
I'm better. You think I'm better than Batman?
You're better than Batman. You're better than.
You're like,
he doesn't know.
You don't need a spear
at this point. Oh my god!
You think the bullet's better than the spear?
Yeah, that's so smart. I think in any comic book showdown, I feel like there's like a '90s Batman the Animated Series and Superman crossover that might have kicked off the Superman series.
Yeah,
I think it was a kryptonite gun, like. He's not getting close.
Just go full out, guys. Yeah.
I know he's got a whole no guns thing, but not in this movie.
He's got a gun rule where he needs guns in this one.
Yeah.
Let's look.
Sick. I fucking love
it. Yeah, fights are sick. Like we said, this fight in particular is sick when he's fucking Bowsering Superman around the empty stadium.
Zack Snyder can do the comic book moments. It's constructing the rest of the movie that just falls super, super, super flat, unfortunately, for me, as someone who loves this movie.
Do you like Zack Snyder's Justice League more than this movie?
I think I do, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like you would have been different last time, but okay.
I haven't watched Justice League in a while, so maybe that would change.
Evan comes back to him and he's like, hated it. Couldn't stand it. Okay. Well, that's good. What? Look, we don't need to stand on ceremony here. It's a divisive movie. There's good, there's a lot of bad, and there's a lot that is just forced for the sake of setup for a cinematic universe that is a bit bad here. Why don't you give some closing thoughts and then let's do some reviews?
Yeah. You know, I tried to be as critical. I tried to take off rose glasses and finally let myself see this movie, because this has been my comfort movie for years, since 2016, probably up until The Batman, Matt Reeves' The Batman, which is now taking its place. This was my comfort movie. I would just throw it on, you know. I've probably seen it 15 to 20 times at this point.
This is why this is so shocking to me, this turnaround.
And so I wanted to... Now that there for sure is no hope of the DCEU continuing, I want to open up myself to the perspectives, that, you know, some of the criticisms I haven't maybe been letting in, and I see them. They're valid. They're all valid. But this is an ambitious comic book movie. If you like The Dark Knight Returns, Death of Superman, if you've liked watching these characters interact in an animated show, there's a lot of fun stuff here. It's a poorly executed civil war. It's a clash of ideologies, and it's clunky in its dialogue, but it delivers on the comic book experience. You know, if you're just if you don't love this genre, you can do without this movie, and that's fine. If you do love the genre, I think there's stuff to enjoy here. I'm gonna go middle of the road. Let's go 3 out of 5 stars.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good. I echo a lot of your thoughts. I think if you are a fan of the genre, there are a lot of things to appreciate here. I think if you're a fan of Batman and Superman, it is nice seeing them on screen together, interact, fight, what have you.
It's
so
monumental. Yeah.
It's monumental. And so I don't want to take away from that. That being said, there's a lot of trimming that could be done in this movie, maybe some better writing for the script. And so while I do love this movie, I definitely don't want to take away from the fact that it is not perfect. I am just a whore for Batman. That's what it comes down to. And so I will, I'm going to give it a 3.5. And that feels generous, though. Like, I'm acknowledging that it feels generous. Yeah. So I want to make that clear. Like, it's a personal rating. I'm giving it a 3.5, but I know that... I'm giving it a little bump in places it probably shouldn't.
That's growth for us.
Yeah, 4.75 coming out of the theater. Yeah,
I saw this twice in theaters, second time in IMAX. Yeah.
So here's the one thing. People always rag on the Martha moment, but both of their mothers' names are Martha. Like, that's not something that he made up. Like, there is precedent for years and years and years and years before this movie. Yeah. Both of their names are Martha.
It's just a weird way to get to that that emotional plot point of getting them to reconcile. But sure, I'll take it. I mean, aside, so there were the five things we were saying. It's so jam-packed and trying to introduce. Also, it was teeing up Darkseid and Apocalypse.
Tee it up at the end.
I think maybe that's part of the reason why I loved the nightmare sequence. Like, I was juicing in my pants. I was like, no way. They're not going to do Apocalypse and Darkseid. I think one of the greatest tragedies is Ava DuVernay's New Gods not happening. So hopefully James Gunn finds space in the DCU to get that in.
Maybe. You want to read some reviews?
Yeah. You got anything pulled up?
I got 4 stars from George. Just says, nice. Wanted to start with that. Feels appropriate.
Yes.
A lot of these are bad, though. 1 star. How the fuck do you make a film called Batman vs. Superman boring?
It's a truly impressive feat. Okay, this one's good. 1.5 stars. Russman writes, I always scroll slowly through my emails one sentence at a time, ... for dramatic effect.
2 stars. No one wins. One side just loses more slowly. Prez.
1.5 stars. This user writes, remember when everybody hated Batman movies because a gay director was having too much fun making them? I think they're referencing Val Kilmer and George Clooney, which are fun movies. I don't know that we'll visit them in this series, but the reviews aren't kind. And that's okay. I get it. I've always acknowledged that this isn't a great movie, but I've never really taken the time to look into what people are saying.
Okay. 2 stars. Watched again to sample the new 4DX theater in New York. On second viewing, I think the most emblematic and depressing scene is the one where a family's house is about to get swallowed up in a flood, and then they're standing on the roof pleading to Superman to come rescue them, and he just keeps floating in the sky. We never see whether he saves them or not. Like, I know it's implied, but like, it is like, oh, we didn't see the actual action of him saving them.
Does he save anyone in this movie besides Lois Lane falling off?
There's the girl he takes out of the fire, and then everyone in Mexico on Dios de los Muertos is like, he's God.
Yeah.
I love all the religious symmetry that Zack Snyder does with Batman, or excuse me, with Superman. And like, even Lex gets into it a little bit. So I do really like those scenes.
Yeah. I like the allegory is interesting. I don't think it's explored or articulated very well.
Yeah, that's true.
Particularly by Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
1.5 stars, Ultimate Edition, now with 30 minutes added torture.
Explaining the origin of the bullet.
All 30 minutes are dedicated to the bullet.
The bullet and Clark Kent in Gotham on the street reporting.
1 star, yep, should have stuck to the trailer. I don't know what that means, actually. Sorry, I thought it was...
2 stars, this is easily the worst Batman movie, but it's only like the 3rd worst Superman movie, so small victories. Yeah, okay. I don't think we...
That's funny.
We didn't talk much about Henry Cavill, but I still love him in this role.
He's awesome.
He looks even better in this one. Like, I think his hair's a little shorter. I think he just looks the part in this movie.
He really does. It's really hard to beat his look. I'm excited to see what happens in the future, but that is one thing that will always be lost. Man, what a mess that he was like, I'm back. I'm back as Superman. I've left Netflix and The Witcher, and I'm back. And then 2 months later, they were like, yeah, he ain't back.
So, I mean... Justice League was 2017? No way. They were a year apart?
Sounds right. Yeah, I think so, actually.
That's fucked. Because we've just been in limbo since then, essentially, of wondering whether we'd get a Justice League 2, right?
Yeah. And he wasn't coming back because then, remember, he even did the Shazam cameo, but they couldn't show his face because he had a deal with Netflix.
Well, it wasn't him.
Then he couldn't. Oh, it wasn't even him? No, I didn't know that. But he came out saying, like, yeah, I signed a deal with Netflix. I actually can't show my face outside of Netflix for 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that ended. He left The Witcher. They recast him as The Witcher. He left to go be Superman. And they were like, that's what I can't get over. Someone signed off. That was, essentially, that is the DCEU's last attempt to save it. They were like, Henry Cavill, tell him you're back. Like, they had nothing planned for him.
Uh-huh.
They had, you know what I mean? They had no projects on the horizon that he was going to be in.
Yeah.
But they were like, just tell him you're back. And tell him you're fully back.
You know the worst, maybe the worst part of that is they for sure knew he wasn't coming back. I think that was all marketing.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I thought they did.
Black Adam. I think they just wanted to juice the numbers.
Possibly. Very well so.
It was like 2 weeks later.
It was like a couple months that James Gunn. Yeah, you're right. It was a couple weeks James Gunn took over, but then it was a couple months where he announced, like, now we're recasting him.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it was implied with James Gunn's hiring.
At the time, we did not know that, if you recall. Okay. At the time, we were very confused as to who, because he said some people may keep their characters, some are not going to.
Yeah, man,
that was what he said. And then remember, Gail the whole time was like, "Oh no, he said I'm staying," and he was like, "I never thought that."
It's been a mess. It's been messy since
this
movie,
from start to finish. Because I think Man of Steel went off fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it was an issue. It didn't have hiccups really. This was where it picks up, and it ends with an Instagram video of Henry Cavill saying, "I'm back as Superman. You saw me in Black Adam, and I'm back. I'm here to tell you I am back as Superman." And then they were like, "That'll get him. Yeah. That'll fool him."
Okay, let's do in memoriam of maybe our favorite parts. So the DCEU, you know, officially over now with Aquaman 2 out. Haven't seen it, but, you know, we'll work our way to it eventually, get there in like 5 years at the rate we're doing these movies. But some of the things... The what ifs, I think, are maybe the most tragic losses. We're never going to get new gods. We're never going to see Apocalypse, Darkseid realized, at least for a while, I imagine. We're not going to get Ben Affleck's Batman. He was set to write.
That was one I was excited for. He was going to write and direct and star in a Batman film. That was supposed to be good. I also, even though I was not the biggest fan of them as they were coming out, I am sad we're never going to see the ending of the nightmare sequence.
There was a time we hoped. There was a time.
The nightmare sequence at the end of Zack Snyder's Justice League was wild because it was like Mira, Joker, like Flash, Cyborg. Like, it was a ragtag group of people. Like, what are you all doing here?
Mm-hmm.
It was the only time I think Jared Leto did well as the Joker.
Man, is Zack Snyder the king of blue ballsing us?
Teasing?
Because what do we get in his Justice League? There's the Adam tee up in his cut, at least.
Yeah, there's an Adam tee up. There's a
Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter.
Green Lantern. There's a Martian Manhunter. Was
the did they just shoot it, but it wasn't
You know what? No, the Green Lantern was just a photo they shot outside Zack Snyder's house.
Just to fucking rile us up.
They got me. They got me. He teased me.
Yeah, Wayne T. Carr, I've never heard of you, but I want to see you as the Green Lantern.
I'm fucking teased, that's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. It's sad to close this chapter, but it's also, you know.
It's exciting in a sense that we have exciting things on the horizon that are coming.
We have reason to hope again. And at the end of the day, isn't that what the S stands for in Kryptonian?
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, my friend.
Should we look at some news? I don't know. What do we got?
Yeah, do you have anything?
You sent me this one. Best Buy has begun removing all physical media and displays.
Oh, it hurt. Yeah. It really hurt to hear that one, honestly.
That was like a pivotal experience growing up for me. It was just perusing DVDs.
Oh,
love the bargain
box.
Yeah,
that one really hurt me. Yeah, it's a different age.
Mm-hmm.
Digital media is going away. I'm more mad I didn't collect DVDs like I should have in the era for being such a movie buff.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the first adopters of streaming. I was like, love it. Gonna make it my whole lifestyle.
Speaking of DCEU aftermath, Dwayne Johnson is set to star in a new A24 film and says in an interview he's at a point where he wants to make films that matter, that explore humanity, struggle, and pain.
I don't care about the box office.
Oh, you don't? The Rock? You're with your meticulously crafted public persona where you only play The Rock?
That's part of what I like about Dave Bautista, though, is like, While him and The Rock and John Cena always kind of play The Rock and John Cena in their movies. Well, John Cena's branched out a little, I guess, with Peacekeeper.
And he does like comedic, like more comedic stuff.
But John or Dave Bautista's like, fuck it, I'll do any role. Yeah. Like, give me it.
Because I think his breakout role was what? Was it Blade Runner?
No, I definitely think it was Guardians of the Galaxy, his breakout role.
That's right. But,
yeah, he's in Blade Runner. Yeah. He's in Knock at the Cabin. Mm-hmm. He's in Glass Onion. He's made a lot of appearances in films that you're like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does well in Blade Runner, too. He's a good actor.
He's got the chops. I really love that movie. That's another tragically underrated, at the box office at least, film.
Yeah. Yep. Last bit of news. I know you want to talk about this, and this is DCEU adjacent, if you will. Robert Downey Jr. says Christopher Nolan doesn't really like it when you go to the bathroom. He understands that you have to, but he doesn't really like it. And then Robert asks him, dude, when do you go? And he says 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. And I was like, what the fuck?
He runs a tight ship. I bet. I bet people on the Justice League's on the BVS set going to the bathroom willy-nilly. But not on Christopher Nolan's set.
I don't know what to make of this, if I'm being honest.
It seems right for a guy who's obsessed with Oppenheimer and making historical...
You hear he doesn't have a cell phone?
Yeah, wild. And you know what? It makes the work better.
And we love him all the more for it. Our little weirdo.
Here's one more for our flagship pod. Gerard Butler will reprise his role as Hiccup's father for the live-action How to Train Your Dragon movie. I don't know when that's coming out, but he's cast in. I think I saw Nicholas Frost is... I
thought you were going to say Nicholas Cantu.
Cantu.
I was like, he got canceled. How's that possible?
As a dragon. you know what? I don't love Gerard Butler, but it's. I'm glad to see he's getting his day back in the sun. You know what I mean?
You love Gerard Butler? I didn't know this
Weird
about you.
Tie-in. His breakout role was in The 300, directed by
Zack Snyder.
And then he kind of fizzled out and only does movies about the White House falling with Morgan Freeman or whatever.
Why do you... I think it's Channing Tatum. Why do you like him so much? What's making you like, yes, I'm glad he's back?
I think probably
you
my style...
300 for him?
I loved 300.
Oh, I didn't know this about you. I just like 300.
I wonder if that holds up. I think that was one of the first R movies I like saw on my own
in
theaters.
The Yeah. And it's like really unique and different. And you were like, I've never seen a movie like this.
And I think that shows off what Zack Snyder is good at is like sort of recreating comic book panels.
Yeah. No, I see it. I see the vision. Yeah. No, I got nothing else, though. You got anything?
No, that's it for me. I think there's one release date we should keep on our, you know, want to give a heads up to our listeners. Avatar, The Last Airbender on Netflix, February 22nd, I believe.
Yeah.
Live action. So that's coming up soon.
Get ready for it. It's coming. Good, bad, or indifferent. You don't have a choice.
We'll be podcasting about it.
When we will be podcasting about it, that's for sure. Awesome. Great. Well, this was fun. I'm glad we did this. I'm glad you were able to look at it in a more objective opinion now that the DCEU is over. Mm-hmm. I think it gives us a little more clarity, like, no, that could go somewhere, though. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You know what they say, distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Not in your case.
As much as I picked this movie apart, It's still a go-to comfort movie.
He's still going to be watching it.
He's
still going to be watching it. All right. I'm gonna wrap us up here. But thank you for listening. If you love this episode, we have a ton more. While this was a DCE eulogy, we actually only have a few more of those. But we have a ton more of Two Dudes Watch Cartoons. Check out our other episodes on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you're listening at. And you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two Dudes Watch Cartoons, and just thanks for joining us. We love doing this, and we love having you here.
That'll do it for this episode of Two Dudes Watch Cartoons. We will catch you next time. Two Dudes Watch Cartoons.